We mention often that our God is a God who reveals God's self to us. We see this readily in nature, history, scripture, and quite tangibly through our Lord Jesus Christ. Today, as we have heard this gospel reading sung, there is a dissonance between the beauty of the music and the horror of the words. This can either give us grace to lean in or an excuse to lean out. The choice is ours. On a day like today, we wonder, why do we do this? Why do we remember the details of Jesus' shame, suffering, and sacrifice? In our faith, there is a convergence of God being a God who reveals God's self to us and intentional remembering. Where to remember is to simply and profoundly and importantly re-put together. This helps us to take in the truth of God's nature and character and the reality of who we are as creatures. We remind ourselves today that God loves us. Jesus came, and that shows us such great love that our holy and almighty God took human form for us. What a display of love. But there is more. Jesus came to show us how to live, but there is more. Jesus came to save us from separation from God, from separation from one another, separation from ourselves. All of our freedom hinges on forgiveness, and in and through Jesus, we have and have available to us forgiveness. This is the reconciling act of Jesus in the new covenant we heard last night. We are so limited and unable to save ourselves. We humans are just not very powerful. But God is. As we have journeyed through Lent, we have seen that at times God has withheld God's power to have relationship with us. And today we see again God withholding God's power to have relationship with us. As we gaze on the shame, suffering, and sacrifice of Jesus, we know that Jesus could have pulled out the stops at any moment to prevent what was happening, to stop the creature from tormenting and killing the Creator. But Jesus did not. What great love, what great power, what great humility demonstrated for us. And amid all the shame and suffering and sacrifice, God keeps showing us more of who God is. We hear three of Jesus' seven sayings on the cross in our gospel reading today. These are while Jesus is probably physically mostly dead. Commentaries and encyclopedias aid us in taking in what happened. Jesus had been flogged before being crucified. The instrument used was a whip whose leather thongs were fitted with pieces of bone or lead or other metal. The goal of this flogging was to hasten death for those about to be crucified. Carson aids our understanding. The torturers, he writes, would beat the victim until the torturers were tired or were called off by their commander. Often, people died during flogging. Following the flogging, there is shame and humiliation, which will also come more after the crucifixion. And then there's the pain of the crucifixion. The condemned, after Jesus carried his cross, was lying on his back with arms outstretched on a horizontal beam, and then crucified using 7 to 9 inch nails or stakes. And then he was rotated vertically while the horizontal beam was connected to the vertical beam. Then the feet were nailed. There was a little kind of seat attached that sounds nice, but it was to prolong suffering. Jesus needed to push up on his feet and pull down on his arms to breathe, let alone speak, and then catch himself on the tiny seat. Torture. While being tortured, God kept showing us who God is. We hear when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." John had run away at the moment of the betrayal of Jesus by Judas' kiss. They all did. But John came back to the cross, drawn in, but likely afraid or ashamed because he had abandoned Jesus. But Jesus does not even mention the abandonment. In fact, Jesus shows so much trust and love that he takes care of his mother and John by entrusting them to one another. While Jesus is tortured on the cross and dying, Jesus is taking care of people, providing for people. Then we hear Jesus say, "I am thirsty." We hear that this was to fulfill Scripture. We glean from this that Jesus was completely in control of himself and of his circumstance, composed while physically mutilated and dying. We last hear in this passage Jesus say, "It is finished." As we are aware that God is always revealing God's self to us and that Jesus had complete composure on the cross, we know that this is not a phrase of defeat, but of victory. It is finished. What is finished? The shame, the suffering, the sacrifice, such holding of the power of God. For us, it is over as we look back. We are familiar with the resurrection. For them, and as we remember in real time, it is not over. We are not to the resurrection. We are not there yet in real time of the narratives. It took God time to save us. It all must be important. That is why each day this week we have been in it. Do not move faster now. Stay, ponder, reflect. Do not move to the resurrection. It is too soon. Welcome the grief, the awe, the wonder, the confusion, the questions. May God show us afresh how much God values each of us and how unrestricted God's love is for each of us. It literally knows no bounds.